So half term, anybody had any days off this week? Few hands, yeah. I'm sure if you've been at work there, you've been benefiting from less traffic on the roads and slightly easier journeys. Most of you know that I'm involved in education, so my wife always gets a little bit anxious when I'm coming up to a half term, because she's always really worried I'm going to have too much time on my hands. So she really helpfully leaves me a little list on the Monday of half term, all the things that she wants doing. I've not quite done them all, but I've given it a good go. And at the end of the day, there's only so much catch-up rugby you can watch, isn't there? But what I thought this morning is...
There is.
If Duncan was here, he'd be saying, no, you can never have enough time. I was going to start this morning by asking you a question. And the question is this. Do you ever find yourself in a position where you're kind of watching a seemingly helpless situation or hopeless situation unfold around you? And you kind of wonder, you know, where is God in all of this? Have you ever been in that situation? I was actually at a meeting the other day. It's called an integration panel meeting. And it was in Watford, and these meetings take place every Wednesday afternoon. And they're meetings where permanently excluded students from schools come and they meet a panel of people and outside agencies, and they come with their families. And what the idea is they try and rescue a difficult situation. They've been permanently excluded from a school and they're trying to find a way through that actually brings some positivity in that child's life. And in this meeting that I was sitting in, this first lad came in and he slumped in his chair and his mum was sitting there with a little baby on her lap, and he had a lovely smile. Apparently he was brilliant at football, but he'd been permanently excluded from a school back in June. And since that day, he'd not gone to school. And bearing in mind this is October, he'd not gone to school, and also he'd not gone home. He'd literally gone out on the streets of Watford, stayed out to all the hours of the early morning every single day, and connected in with various different older friends, and had slept on their floors. And literally, kind of, it's almost like his life had fallen apart, and he was getting into that kind of culture of sort of gangs and being on the street and stuff like that. And as it was, the previous Saturday, there'd been a stabbing in Watford, and kind of whilst he didn't say he was involved in it, he said he was there or thereabouts. He knew everything that had gone on. So he was in that kind of world. And this panel were trying to give him some hope, trying to give him like a fresh start somewhere, whether it was at the Watford Pupil Referral Unit or another school or something like this. And he kind of said all the right things in the meeting. But the minute that meeting finished, he just walked back out on the streets, and his mum 3 days later said she hadn't seen him. You just sort of think, where are you in all of this, God? So that a little situation where sometimes things seem really hopeless. A couple of weeks ago, do you remember Dave gave a prophetic word? It really impacted me. And he talked about the cross. And on that Friday when Jesus died, 2,000 years ago, the disciples looked at the cross and all they saw was despair and no hope. But God looked at the cross and he saw death being defeated. He saw salvation for all people and he saw victory. And it really, really impacted me that sometimes when you're in a situation at the time, I was talking to Precious just before the service, she's been through a situation where at the time she struggled to see God in it a few years ago when she was suffering with leukemia. But now she can look back and actually see God's hand in it. And what we want to do as a church is begin to see things from God's perspective. And obviously with hindsight, we can now look back on the cross and we can see God's perspective on it. But what we want to do is try and get that in our lives on a day-to-day basis. And whether that's through getting into the presence of God or reading his word, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to understand and stand on the word in every situation that comes in our lives. So you're probably aware at the moment we're doing a sermon series on truths that feed your soul. So I was asked to speak about a truth that has fed my soul. And I've actually picked one verse of scripture from my favourite book of the Bible, which is Romans. And if you've not read Romans for a while, read it again. It's packed full of gospel truth. And it's packed full of really good practical ideas and tips for how to live your life. So I've chosen one verse. But I hope you've enjoyed the sermon series that we've been doing. I think one thing it's reminded me is how important it is to read the Bible. And there's a picture of the Bible up there. It's so important to read it, isn't it? For three reasons. First of all, the Bible, the Word of God, sustains you and feeds you. Second reason is that it will build you up and will give you a greater understanding of the grace of God. And the third reason is it will protect you. So hopefully on the next slide, you've got a lovely picture of bread. Do you like the smell of fresh bread? Warm, fresh bread? And you can read those words of Jesus. And I don't think it's any coincidence that Jesus likened the word of God to some great food. Just this week, we Caroline and I sat down and we watched a film called The Railway Man. It's quite an old film now, but it's an amazing story of forgiveness. And it's set in the context of a prisoner of war camp in Japan. And some of the harrowing pictures that you saw of prisoners of war, they're just completely emaciated bodies, almost too weak to walk around. And it kind of made me really realise that we wouldn't, under normal circumstances, starve ourselves of food, would we? It would be a really drastic thing or drastic situation if we were doing that. So therefore, we shouldn't starve ourselves of the Word of God, and we should take Jesus seriously. Second point is, if you read the Word of God, it builds you up. So the next slide perhaps gives you a little verse of Scripture to do with this. But I think as a church, we've been really understanding more of the grace of God. And when you read the Word, it can give you a really great understanding of the inheritance that we have. I believe there were some words in church last week about inheriting all that God has for us in his kingdom. And again, if you read the Word, it will build you up. You'll understand your inheritance in God. And the third reason is, why we should read the Word of God on the next slide, hopefully, is that it's going to protect you. And it will protect you in the good times and the bad times. You know, you can see there the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And that will protect you. So there were just a few pointers I want to remind us about as we get into this sermon this morning. So I think overall, what I would say is basically read your Bible. And it's easy to say that, isn't it? But that's actually quite hard to do. We all live really busy lives, don't we? And, you know, sometimes I find it difficult to sort of think, I'm going to read my Bible down, sit down and for half an hour and read my Bible. So we've got to kind of build it into our lives. And one of the really helpful things that Duncan said, it must be about 4 or 5 years ago now, was download the Bible onto your phone. So my phone controls my life. I've got all my emails on here, I've got my calendar on here, and every time there's a little alert, I know what I'm doing next. And if your Bible's on there, and I did this, you get alerts to read it. It kind of reminds me to read my Bible, and it was really helpful. And it was one way that I, for the second time in my life, read the whole Bible from cover to cover. And I did it, managed to do it in just about a year. But it was good because I kept on having little alerts, read this, read this. And the other great thing is you can type in words, you can get passages up. If you're facing a certain situation, you can type in, I don't know, hope or power or whatever, and it can bring up certain verses which can really feed you. So I think my message this morning is find a way for you that kind of fits into your life. I remember at one stage in my life I was kind of eating breakfast every day, which is something I don't normally do. But at the same time I was eating breakfast, I had my Bible out and I was reading it. I kind of built it into kind of a daily routine. So just encourage you, try and find the good things that help you read the Bible. Sometimes situations force you to the Word of God, don't they? So you all know I'm a teacher, I work with teenagers, and most of the time they're absolutely lovely, but sometimes teenagers can be quite challenging, and surely not. One of the second schools I worked in, there's a picture of it up on this screen here, is Glazemore Community School. It's a lovely school now, but when I worked there in the 90s, it perhaps wasn't the school of choice. And also, it was after, you know, the riots on the Broadwater Farm. It wasn't a great place to be. I was new to London, but didn't quite realise what South Tottenham was really like near Seven Sisters Tube. And it was actually quite a tough school to work in. It was quite a diverse school, so 50% of the students were black students, but they were very mixed. They were African origin or Caribbean origin, and they didn't get on particularly well, to be honest. And then there were Greeks and there were Turkish students, and you kind of know the history of Greeks and Turks, and there were other pockets of ethnicities. It wasn't a great school in terms of really gelling together. And on top of that, if you know that area of London, it was also divided by football. So you either supported Spurs or you supported Arsenal. You hated each other. And it was literally like that. So it's a difficult school to teach. And I went into a music department that had been run by a succession of supply teachers. And just going in there in April, halfway through the year, and trying to establish some order in that school was difficult. But do you know what it did? It drove me to the Word of God. It drove me every morning to get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, I'm a prince of the king. I am loved by the Saviour. I have got the authority of heaven to take into my workplace. And Lord Jesus, would you help me in this situation? And every day, it wasn't easy, but you just chipped away. And gradually, do you know what? Order came. And kids started getting into music. And they recorded their own songs. And they formed a little orchestra. And they sang. And it, just a little way of how the kingdom came in that difficult situation. I'll never forget Edward. He was in my form group, and one day he came and he just wanted to talk because he'd been up half the night, because literally 3 doors down on his estate he'd been kept up by the police and the ambulance. Somebody had literally been murdered 3 doors down from his flat. And it was that kind of school, but just being able to listen to him didn't really help him that much, but he just wanted to talk and offload and get ready for the day. And tragically, in the short time I was there, someone in the school, pupil, was actually stabbed to death. And when it came down to it, it was over an argument, over football. So it was a difficult situation. But again, just trying to rely on the word of God and standing firm on him. Another school I worked in, coming up on the screen now, it's been knocked down and demolished and rebuilt. But that was a school down in Hamwell in Ealing. And the situation there was the boss I had was really, really difficult. And I don't know whether you've ever had an experience of going to work for a difficult boss, thinking, how's the day going to go? And how am I going to get through this? And it's not a nice experience, is it? And if Tim was here, I'd remind him that when we used to go to the stable 10 years ago, I went up for prayer. And Tim prayed for me that God would somehow work in this situation. And he actually reminded me that was a story where someone was praying for their difficult boss, and 2 weeks later, their boss dropped down dead. He actually told me that story. But we were kind of open to anything. But that, that didn't actually happen. But what did happen is actually God gave me a love for someone that was quite unlovely. That's what changed. My heart changed. And also, I was really reminded of that truth, that actually you're not working for your boss, but you're working for the King of Kings and you're working for Jesus. So that was how that situation was resolved. I'm on my second headship now, but when I ran a school in North London, some of you may have heard this story before, but a really difficult situation where I had to suspend a member of staff because they'd done something wrong. We had to investigate what they'd done wrong. And when that happens, you have to keep a very quiet counsel. You can't tell all the staff what's happened. You can't tell them the details that you know. But the staff feel very anxious about what's happening in the school they don't know. Now, unbeknown to me, I knew the member of staff was a union rep, but they were really, really well connected in with the National Union of Teachers. So they sent around an online petition, which literally went to almost every school in the country, petitioning against what was happening against this person that I'd suspended. And that caused, you know, a lot of anxiety. It was a really difficult time in the school. And that was a time, again, when I just constantly got up in the morning, read the Bible. There's a great verse of scripture up there from Psalm 41, if Ken could get it up there, that really sustained me through that period. And on top of all of that, another really stressful thing happens. I got a call at 12 o'clock in the day, midday, and it was Ofsted on the phone saying, we're going to come and visit your school. And if you're involved in education, you know that's not a great call to take, but you crack on with it for 48 hours. But what was great is actually, if you bring up the next clip, Ken, that was what happened. Through that, even though it was really stressful, God vindicated the school. He rated it outstanding, and it was an amazing thing to kind of just be trusting in him in a really difficult time, standing on his word and seeing that happen. There's more. So just recently, click on the next slide, Ken. This was quite an interesting one. So about, I think it was 4 years ago, I went up to Leeds to speak at something called the Everything Conference. I went with Duncan. Duncan and I did a sort of double act. We spoke. And at my new job, I think about 5 weeks into starting my new job in Bushy, someone had got hold of a clip of what I was saying at that conference, taken it completely out of context and put it up on YouTube. And then they'd put, you know, a title there, and they'd tried to link what I was saying to homophobic kind of attitudes. And my deputy head came to me and said, oh, there's something not very nice about you on YouTube, and all the kids are now, you know, it's pinging around the whole school and all the parents are watching it. And I thought, okay, God, what's happening here? And it caused a bit of anxiety, but do you know what? It was really great, because every time I walked out at break time or lunchtime or stood on the school gates, the kids were saying, oh, sir, there's something up on YouTube about you. And I said, yeah, I've heard. I didn't put it up there myself. And they said, well, sir, we've watched it, and what you're saying doesn't relate to what's written on there. And anyway, that's not you, sir, anyway. And that was fantastic, because I thought, I'd only been there 5 weeks. I hadn't done anything particularly amazing, but just I had got myself out there and connected in with the school community. And then if you click the next clip, Ken, that was the verse that really came to mind, that God actually, again, came through and in all things worked together for good. And the good that came out of it is within 5 weeks of being in the school, everybody knew I was a born-again Christian and everybody knew what I stood for. So that was good. It was all out there. Right, next one. Have you heard about this recent one, Killer Clowns? Did anybody come across that? Okay, it's a really, really big thing. it's almost so weird, you don't kind of don't give it any attention at all. But we were chatting to my nephew, he's up in a school in Cumbria, and he'd heard all about it, and all of their kids in their school were a bit anxious about it. Some schools in southwest Hertfordshire have practiced lockdown, just in case a killer clown came with a knife on their school dates, and they had to lock everybody in. So it's kind of getting that balance of, look, what's going on here, God? A lot of the kids were really nervous about this, whether it was linked to Halloween, but there'd been sightings of clowns with knives by school playgrounds trying to abduct children. So it caused, again, a lot of anxiety. And on the next slide, again, it did get a bit personal. And again, you wonder, what's going on here, God? But, you know, just again, trying to stand on the word and trying to trust in him. So, which leads me really to the verse that I wanted to share with you today, coming up now. So let's have a little read of that. So Romans 15:13. So it's from my favourite book of the Bible. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the next slide just highlights a few things in that verse. It's packed full of truth. So the God of hope, that's how we can describe our God, isn't it? The God of hope. He brings hope. What's he going to do? He's going to fill us up, absolutely fill us up to overflowing. What's he going to fill us up with? Joy and peace in all circumstances, in the good times and in the bad times. What do we have to do? We've got to trust in him. And that's sometimes hard to do, isn't it? But trust in him. So what are we going to do? We're going to overflow with hope by the power of his Holy Spirit. So there's so much packed into that verse. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, don't we? It's so important to seek the presence of God when we gather together, whether it's on a Sunday or whether it's in group life. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can just literally overflow hope. And it's a fantastic image, and I'm sure all of us, and I know all of us, are doing that each and every day of our lives. We're just overflowing hope. You probably don't even realise you're doing it, but if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're going to overflow with hope. So that's my verse that I want to share with you. It has sustained me. It has fed me. It's led me through good times and bad times, and I think it's something good just to talk about this morning. A little bit of context. Next slide, Ken. There should be a map. So this letter, or that verse, is part of a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome. About 20 years after Jesus died and rose again, Paul's writing this letter. He's actually in Corinth at the time, just below that word Greece, and he's on his third missionary visit there. And he's trying to not only evangelize and tell people about the good news of Jesus, he's also raising money to send back to the church in Jerusalem. But at the same time, he's also, he's a busy person, he's also writing this very long letter to the Christian church in Rome. Now, Rome was a pretty packed city. About 1 million people lived in Rome at the time, and they were packed into 10 square miles. That's 3 miles by 3 miles, all packed in. And there were lots of diverse ethnicities in that city. There was a big Jewish contingent, but there were also lots of other people from ethnic backgrounds living in that city. And it was a time when, a few years earlier, the Roman emperor had kicked out all the Jewish people. So I kind of read that and thought, can you imagine that happening? You're kicked out of your home, you're told you can't live in the city, you're a refugee, you're kicked out by the Roman emperor. But then they were allowed back in, but Paul's writing this letter to that city, to that Christian church in that city, at this kind of time. And he's also, his vision for Rome is it would become a springboard for Christianity to spread through the rest of the Western world. So can you see the green? About 200 years later, that was how far Christianity has spread. So that was Paul's vision. He wanted to write this letter that encouraged the Christians in Rome, that built them up, that explains them all about the gospel truths, and also explains them how to relate to one another in that diverse, ethnically diverse kind of situation, and how to live their lives, and how to also share their faith with other people around them. Now, can you relate that to where we're at? We're in a city where everywhere you look, buildings are going up. People are moving in. How many people can they pack into this area? It's incredible, isn't it? We're very ethnically diverse, which is fantastic. What a lovely church we've got. All different cultures represented here. But also out there in our neighbourhoods, very ethnically diverse. Is there any tension at the moment post-Brexit? That's probably for you to work out. But I think we've got a calling here to read that verse that Paul wrote in that letter and apply it to ourselves today. On top of that, I think, so let's have a look at another look at that verse. Yeah, on top of that, I think where our church is at the moment is a really interesting place. And I think there's a new focus at Trinity, and I'm sure you've experienced this yourself. Three things that we're really focused on: seeking the presence of God. Even this morning, just Ornella gently leading us into the presence of Jesus. And then why? To bring hope to people around us. And then to transform our city. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when we pray, oh God, would you transform London? It sort of seems too big a prayer for me. But actually, I can go into work saying, God, would you fill me with your spirit so I can overflow hope to speak a kind word to somebody in year 7 or year 11 or year 13 or a teacher, or encourage somebody to, you know, walk into their calling. I can pray that prayer. And do you know what? When you transform people around you, do you know what will happen? Your city will be transformed. So that's where our church is at. And I think that verse that Paul wrote is really applicable to us today. 2 weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, I went up to Birmingham. Probably heard I went and spoke at this conference, which was all to do with like Christians in the workplace. And it was really great to put up this next slide. Okay, and that was just a small selection of people in this church who, almost the more we've sought the presence of God, the greater influence individuals in this church have had. But actually, I think all of us could have been up there, because I've heard so many testimonies of people bringing God in their workplace, bringing God in the group that they attend, or bringing God in their friendship group or on the school gates. But these were just some of the people that I put up there. And, you know, we know what Tim's doing. He's bringing hope to in amazing situations. Io, I think, is fantastic with all the work that he does for domestic violence. But what's really great about Io is he's known as the person that's always smiling in his workplace. And I love that. He's overflowing hope in his workplace and everybody knows about it. I think today Duncan and a team have gone down to Pentonville Prison, bringing hope in quite a desperate situation there. Don't know how it went, but I'm sure they've brought hope and I'm sure it's gone well. Do you remember Joe, who was involved in our worship for many years? He always wanted to have a political position. He's got a real interest in politics, and I think he's nailed a political position in the Middlesex Student Union. And that's great that he's seeing his calling come to light there. Bryn shared with us a few months ago. Do you remember he's one of the most junior partners in his law firm? But the lead partner, the most senior partner, has described him as his right-hand man. And that was wonderful to see that influence coming in that law firm. And obviously we know about Christina and the salvations that she's seeing through her work with CAP and the food bank, and building on that legacy that Andy laid down those years ago. And what I'd encourage you to do is, on the next slide, just remember that the words that come out of our mouth have real power. And sometimes it's the little things that we do that bring hope, isn't it? So speaking that word of encouragement to somebody can actually help them move into God's calling. It can remind them of what God's calling is on their life. Speaking that word of wisdom into someone's life. You know, you've got the wisdom of Jesus that you can speak into someone's life. Writing some words in a card that builds someone up, reveals God's heart towards that person. Even just sitting and perhaps using silence to sit and listen to somebody talk through a difficult situation they're going through can help them reorder their thoughts and perhaps bring hope in a situation. So sometimes it's those little things that you do that can have a big impact. And be encouraged by that. We can all do those things. We can bring hope. We can overflow with hope. Next slide. Okay, I think, Steve, you preached on this a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago. It was about the parable of the sower. And I really got into that parable again. And I looked at it in a different way. And I think I've heard that parable preached to me before. And I've made judgments about where to sow. So I've thought, well, oh, that person is quite far away from God. I'm not going to sow there. But that person looks like they're living on rich soil. I'll sow there and see my seed grow. And I won't sow over there because the birds are going to come down and eat it up. So I think I've made perhaps choices about where to sow. And this was really brought home to me a couple of weeks ago when I went out on the streets as part of Revive. First time ever. It's a complete newbie to this. Never done it before. But I went out and I followed Andy's instructions. Go out with somebody that's done it before. And I went out with two amazing people, Hastings and Giancarlo. And Giancarlo was absolutely brilliant at it. And Hastings and I, we were sort of walking down Mill Hill Broadway. And we said, where's Giancarlo gone? And he was sitting at a table outside Costa, talking to one of the Barnet parking enforcement officers, and he was finding out all about her life, and she'd grown up in a Catholic church, and you know, he was praying for her, and he was just such a natural at it. And at one point, we were standing by a pedestrian crossing, the three of us, and this young couple were crossing the crossing, 19, 20, 21, that kind of age, looking really trendy and hip, and I thought, they're not going to know it. They're not going to want to know anything about Jesus. They're not going to want to stop and talk to any of us. But Giancarlo just went up and said, oh, you know, have you got a minute for a question? If God could do a miracle in your life, what would it be? And the guy, without any hesitation at all, said, can you pray for Tony, my mate, who had a car crash last Saturday and is in a coma? And we just stood there, just by the pedestrian crossing, and prayed for them. And I thought, I'm never going to judge where I'm going to sow some seeds in the future. And again, if that's a little message I can give you this morning, don't worry about where you sow. Just sow absolutely everywhere you can and let God do the rest. You don't know who's going to come and weed those thorns, and then you know your seed that you've sown will grow at a later date. So that was a little message I want to get across this morning. I found a nice picture of Dave the other day. You're looking quite young there, Dave, actually. So this was a nice one. So at my previous school, Dave came in and led a series of boxer size classes, and I actually gave him all the toughest kids in the school, you know, really enjoyed beating the hell out of each other. And Dave kind of brought some order to that, and he got them boxing. But do you know what Dave was doing every single week he came in? He was just speaking truth and goodness and positivity into their lives. And it was fantastic to see. And that's just, again, a little example. Now, those people, Dave, are probably in their 20s now. I was at a party last Saturday and bumped into some ex-Free and Barnet kids. They're all 20, 21. But, you know, we don't know what happened with that. But I'm sure Dave has sowed some seeds in their lives. And in fact, a few years later, a couple of them got into trouble with the police, and they weren't allowed to come and do their GCSE exams at Free and Barnet, and the church facilitated them coming and doing their English and maths exams here. And again, they just connected in with Duncan and Dave and played, had a game of pool before their English GCSE and sat their English GCSE and passed it. Just little things like that make a big difference. Right, have we got a little video coming up, Ken? I don't know if we can play a video next. This is a lad that I had a privilege of speaking into his life about 3-4 months before he took his GCSEs. It's just one example of many that I could have shown you. This was a video I took on his results day, so I just thought I'd just play that now. You can have a little listen, hopefully, if it works.
Your results with you. So do you now know what you've got?
Yeah, I've got seven GCSEs.
So. Seven GCSEs. Did you get your maths?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get your English?
I got both of them.
Fantastic. Now, do you remember, you've just mentioned to me a conversation we had a few months ago.
I remember when me and you had a conversation about how we were going to get... how I was going to get free GCSEs, and if I didn't change how I was, you know, now that I have, it's good, and it's like an achievement.
That's very good. Your mum will be very proud of you, won't she? What were the main changes you made?
I sort of changed my mentality towards school. I just thought that I need to put effort in. Like, I wasn't really putting the effort in. Like, just coming to school. You can't really just come to school and pass GCSEs. You've got to actually think about what you're doing and do the work.
Okay, it's all paid off.
Yeah.
So where are you off to now?
I'm going to go to Barnet College.
Okay. Do you know what you want to study?
I'm doing media studies now.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Okay, well, all the very best, and we're proud of you. All right, well done, Cleaver.
And it's great. I know I'm in a really privileged position, and if there's any teachers or TAs in the room, you know that in the course of a normal day, you can probably have interactions with, I think I worked out, a secondary school teacher would be able to interact with maybe 200 different people in a day. So that's about 40,000 people in a year, 40,000 different interactions. And if you can just sow those little seeds of goodness in everything you do, even if it's just smiling and welcoming them to your classroom and being kind to them and disciplining them when you need to, you know, that's an amazing privilege. But all of us interact with people in our workplace or on the school gates or in our families. And I know a lot of you are also having that kind of impact. So hopefully you've been encouraged by watching that. Okay, the next slide, if we can get it up, Ken, is a picture just outside our house. So Caroline and I have a little Sunday routine. So we go back from church, and if we're not doing anything in the afternoon, we walk up the Broadway, Mill Hill Broadway, and we sit and have a coffee in a restaurant and just chat about, you know, church and what we've heard out of the sermon and swap our diaries and try and work out what we're doing the following week. So there's a little picture here of a zebra crossing on Hale Lane. I'm sure you've driven past it a number of times, if Ken can get there. And we just happened to be doing our usual, walking up the Broadway. And this was a few months ago. So bearing in mind, I've never gone out in the streets, never prayed for anybody, just randomly. We're crossing a crossing, and a really good friend that we'd known about 20 years was crossing the other way. And we just said, oh, hi, how are you doing? And she said, oh, not too good, actually. Haven't you heard? I've been diagnosed with breast cancer, and I've got to have chemotherapy starting next week. So next slide, Ken. So that's where we had that conversation. And this isn't me, but we'd had an amazing time of worship that morning, and we'd been in the presence of God, and I just felt absolutely overwhelming compassion for this lady. And I just said, we've just come from church, Natalie. We believe in a God of healing. Can we pray for you? And we just stood there on the zebra crossing and prayed for her, prayed that God would bring hope, God would, you know, give skills to the doctors and surgeons, and she'd come through and she'd have peace through the situation. So it probably wasn't the best place to pray for somebody, because next slide. What happened is every time a car appeared, they kind of stopped because they thought we were crossing a crossing, but stood around and watched what we were doing. So that was quite fun. But anyway, but I think the other day, also going out on the streets and remembering that, actually, that is the easy bit. I know we have this fear of talking to random strangers, but that is the easy bit. The hard bit is, and this is what Caroline's brilliant at, is texting Natalie in the next week and saying, how are you doing? How did the chemo go? Taking her out for coffee, popping around her house, and she's still doing it 6 months later. So that's the hard bit. So don't forget, it is easy to go up on the streets and have conversations with people. It's much, much harder to do the friendship stuff and really get alongside people. That's what is an investment of the kingdom, isn't it? So I just thought I'd share that this morning. So in all of this, next slide, just remember this, focus on your part of the jigsaw, okay? Sow those little seeds. The other week I was it was the week I was going up to Birmingham. So one of my pastoral managers, she's from a Hindu background, just popped into my office to say goodbye at the end of the week, and she said, "Oh, what are you doing this weekend?" I said, "Oh, I'm speaking at a conference in Birmingham on Saturday." And she said, "Oh, that must be amazing, telling people how to run schools and, you know, be an outstanding leader and all that kind of stuff." I said, "Oh no, actually, it's a bit different. I'm talking about how, you know, you can have faith in the workplace." And she said, "Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I grew up as a Hindu, but I've kind of pushed all those gods to one side. But, you know, I'm really into faith." And I just sort of said, you know, prayer, I can see that. I can see how you live your life is, you know, that's important to you. Didn't feel it was right to say, right, now take a tract. I'm going to pray for you, you know, be filled with the Holy Spirit and get to know Jesus. I wasn't right, but it was just a little part of the jigsaw. And there'll be other times that I can have conversations with her later on. I can write her a letter and encourage her for what she's doing, bringing God's kingdom in, even though she's not a believer. She's bringing God's kingdom in the workplace. And I've got a great story that Caroline's got, where she's worked in a birth centre for about 10 years now, and she's got to know a lady called Kate, an older lady called Kate, who's a lovely, lovely lady. If she isn't a Christian, she should be, because she's so godly. But obviously Caroline and her have got to know each other, and Kate's watched Caroline, and there's all the banter at work, or, you know, if situations happen, oh, Caroline, what would Jesus do now? You know, and that kind of thing. They all know she's a Christian, and, you know, they watch her every move, and they see her acts of kindness, making cups of tea and going the extra mile and doing that kind of stuff. But anyway, Kate's daughter, non-Christian, applied for a job as an administrator, and it was at a Christian church. She got the job. But she rung her mum saying, oh, mum, I'm really not sure about this. It's one of these wacky churches. It's one of these odd churches. And Kate, without any hesitation, said, don't worry about it. That's where Caroline goes. It's all right. And I just... it's good, isn't it? And I just thought, do you know what? That's great. Caroline's faithfully done her bits of the jigsaw, and now a family's being affected. They're connected in with this really, you know, evangelical church, spirit-filled church. And what's happening now is, apparently, the message is coming back is Kate's telling Caroline, oh, you know, where my daughter is, they pray about everything. You know, she's just sitting there getting on with her work, and they're praying about this and praying about that. And they're now being invited to those events, like the bonfire night. And, you know, the husband, again, a non-believer, is saying, oh, we ought to go to that. Where you work's a really good place. And you can kind of see God's hand at work just by people just doing their bit of the jigsaw. So you'd be pleased to know I've nearly finished. I've got a couple more things just to say. So that's the verse I really wanted to bring to you this morning. So are you up for overflowing with hope this week, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? And, you know, just encourage you. It's been so encouraging to hear so many stories of what's going on in your lives. I've shared a few this morning, but I just want to say, you know, God bless you in all of that. And my last slide is this, That Spirit of God that we talk about is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That's powerful. So God bless you this morning. Keep doing what you're doing, and may God come in your lives even more. Thank you. Amen.